Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Urban Meyer's Pint House. It is weekend kickoff. It's the biggest one of the year. It's time for the game. It's time for...
War.
War.
Yeah.
Time for war. Okay.
The greatest rivalry in all of sports.
Somebody tell me. Somebody preach it.
Goosebumps, man.
It's number two.
Goosebumps.
Ohio State. And then the rival. Now number five in the latest college football rankings. The stakes do not get any higher. There's Gold Pants. 12's got his on. Anybody else bring some?
Yeah.
Some gold.
Sorry, it's a tradition. No. I just wear my off football season, so I didn't mean to, like,
let's show off
you guys.
I don't even have mine. My mom's got them.
Oh, I was about to say, oh.
No, my
probation
mom's got
period.
Them all.
Gold Pants, Big Ten East Division on the line. Going to Indy if you win. College football playoff berth.
Could be going to Indy twice if you win this.
Got to get,
right.
And you gotta
going,
get there
going
once.
Back to back to Indy. Let's
you see. Got to go there once if you're going to get there twice this year. So it's huge. Obviously, Saturday at noon, the greatest rivalry in all of sports, and Ohio State showing up fresh off one of the most impressive performances in a top 10 game that I've ever seen. It's 49-0.
You know my prediction.
Somebody right here.
Come on,
by the way, it's Cardale Jones, Zach Bourne, Bobby Carpenter, and Tyvis Powell, who said last week right here, I believed him.
No, you didn't.
He said 100-0.
They called the dogs off.
They were on pace for that.
They really called the dogs. I was about to be a prophet. I was going to play the lottery that night, too. They really messed that up.
That was about as I said, I don't think I've seen anything better than that for a game that's two top 10 teams. Defense showing that improvement, that first half shutout. Offense, unstoppable. Special teams, maybe, hey, they didn't catch one kickoff. I guess that's the only markdown against
yeah.
this team. But what did you guys make of that last week? How much does it carry over to Saturday?
Shellacking. Something that we all kind of came up here and predicted that we knew – you know, what it looked like on paper for us, Michigan State back in and Ohio State's receiving core. Me personally, I didn't expect anything less,
right.
You know, other than a big performance definitely through the air versus Michigan State. Because, I mean, they exploited a lot of things that they struggled at all year round. So I wasn't surprised by the win at all and how badly we beat them. Clearly, me predicting 63-17,
yeah.
You know, I gave Michigan State too much credit, gave them 17 points. That's the only thing I feel bad about.
No doubt. I hear you. You know, we could sit up here all night and talk about the performance from last weekend, the way the offense played, the way the defense shut down Kenneth Walker, who was, you know, third in the Heisman race at that point. But in all honesty, I know those guys are the same way. As soon as that game ended, they're focusing on this week.
For sure.
You know, and this is the biggest week. And like you already talked about, not only is this the greatest rivalry in all of sports.
Sport. But don't put the S on it. It's just all of sport. I'm talking about gladiators, all kinds
that
of any sport.
That is a sport, so sports are plural.
No, but you okay, singularize
but,
it.
But aside from that, I mean, this game has got so many other storylines to it, right? Yeah. This is, you know, I don't even know if we have enough time to talk about what Michigan did last year, not coming to the Horseshoe, and, you know, a couple guys had COVID and said, hey, we're going to cancel the game. We could talk about the storyline of Harbaugh still hasn't beat either Michigan State or Ohio State. We could talk about the winner of this game wins the Big Ten East and goes to the Big Ten Championship game, probably against a Wisconsin team that Michigan's already beat this year. And so you think the winner of this game is going to the college football playoff. So there are so many other things at stake other than it just being the greatest rivalry. And so after that game on Saturday, I guarantee you they want to build on momentum, but they don't even look at it. They're not even think about it. Their attention's now on that team up north.
Yeah, it got that old school feel of, you know, the winner of this game is going to represent not just the Big Ten, you know, potentially represent the Big Ten in college football playoffs, but yep. Back in the day when it was just winner of this game, national championship, I mean, a national championship or going to the Rose Bowl and things like that. So you definitely get that feel because Michigan, Ohio State just got has as much to lose as Michigan at this point.
Well, and that's historically why this rivalry ended up meaning so much. Proximity, you've got the states that border each other. But then you start going back, you know, in time, all of a sudden this game meant a lot because the winner won the Big Ten. The winner got that Rose Bowl bid. It was the last game of the season. And as these two programs continued to grow, especially post-World War II, you know, with Woody getting here in, you know, 51, I mean, that's when this thing really took off over the last 70 years. And there has been so much on the line. What are we laughing about?
I just like the concept of it took off over 70 years.
Well, it took off, but it's been, I mean, over 70 years.
That's cruising for 70 years.
Well, it's been, it yeah. took off initially, and then it's been near, it's been at the top.
I didn't mean to disrupt you. I just thought it was funny.
It's okay. It's all right. I mean, 70 years of what we experienced here, going back and forth. Different teams have made their runs.
Yeah.
And, you know,
World War III started 70 years ago. That's basically what he's saying.
Exactly.
The 10-year war.
Coming out of World War I, this to World War II, this is basically like the start of the Cold War.
Yeah.
U.S. versus the Soviets, Ohio State versus Michigan. Those were the two preeminent powers at the time battling for each other in different venues, one on the world stage, another here in the Midwest. So it's been fantastic to see that. And, you know, it's tough. Everyone here is under 40 years old, and I'm the closest to it being a part of this. You know, Zach's dad probably understands it a little bit better playing on the other side and having kids play in this thing, but having like the prism of history. But one of the best parts about this rivalry is you talk to older guys who especially didn't have success in this and what it means to them, and like how when they talk about it, you can still see the emotions come up of what might have been for some of their seasons, especially some of those elite teams of the 90s. And then one of the great things that Tress did, and Urban would do this as well before his passing, is, you know, you bring in the guy who, you know, played at Ohio State, who coached at Ohio State, who is probably the biggest Buckeye fan you will find in the late Earl Bruce. And he would sit there and go on. I mean, I don't know how he had that much energy that late in life.
Yeah. He'd take his little sand timer.
He saved it all up for that one day.
Oh, goodness. And you'd sit in the front row, and he'd be spraying spit all over. Let me tell you something, buddy. Yeah. This team right here.
Yeah, he gets serious.
That's actually pretty good.
You kidding me? And hardest hitting clean game, you'll see. But if you win this game, you can walk High Street with your chest in the air. But if you lose, you've got to walk the back alleys. You know, it was about 45 minutes of that.
It was. It was a long speech. You know what, though? I think that it's going to be a really good game. I mean, you got two teams that's peaking at the right time. You know, I can't ignore the fact that the team up north went up there and put it on Penn State last week. So it's good that these two teams is peaking at the same time. So we should have a really good game.
All right. Well,
I'll save my prediction.
Skip the Maryland beatdown, but sure.
We'll get to all that. Right. But before we do, and obviously the show is brought to you by Bryant Heating Cooling Systems, and we'll talk about our players of the game in a minute. The four of you have lived this rivalry. You said Cardale's got the gold pants on. We know that you referenced Bob, Mr. Boren over there. He might know this rivalry better than anybody else, having seen both sides of it. But just tell me what it's like to play in it, what it feels like all week, what the rivalry still means to you, what you feel at 12. I know how important it is to you.
I think these guys are a better testament to that because they, you know, had significant roles for years playing these games. And the reason why I only wear these single gold pants is because it's the only game I've ever played in.
Right.
You know, all the other ones, yeah, they're great, but they don't mean as much to me as this one. You know, I played a quarter out of 4 years in the game. But, you know, as a former athlete, as a former player at Ohio State, you know, I look at this game now as – you know, I will almost argue that it means more to me now as a former player than a current player because there's nothing you can do to change the outcome. So it's like you want the Buckeyes to win so bad. It just means that much more to you, and you don't want that stink on you. But at the end of the day, you can kind of bounce back like, well, I never lost to them.
Yeah.
But it's all about this year. So I guess their guys' opinions and you know, what it means to them is a little bit more valuable than mine. They played in these games.
It's so funny you bring that up because obviously when you play here, you're a huge supporter of the program. You're a huge supporter of the team. But I don't think there's a game more so than a former player that you want to win that game so badly. It's almost like you're still playing. You know, you think about all these other games, even last week in a top 10 matchup. You go to the game and, man, you're amped up. You're cheering on the Buckeyes. But it's like this week, it's like you want them to win so bad. It's almost like you go back into playing mode, right? And you get back into being so intense, and everything leading up to the game on Saturdays is amplified. And so back to Cardell's point, man, once you play in this game, you have such a respect for it after through my 4 years, that now even when you're done, it's like, man, I got to play in the greatest rivalry in sport, Bob, right? And so when you play in that game, and even now, it's kind of like, yeah, you can't do anything about it, but you still are living in that moment where you feel like, hey, I'm still hungry to play. And every player will say that. It doesn't matter how far from the program or how close you are to the program. Everyone, every former player wants this game that bad.
So I was at the game in 98. It was the last game before they dug down the stadium and did all the renovations on it. It was John Cooper's second and final win against that team up north until Tress got here and won in 2001, and then the next win at home was 02. And being at that game and seeing it was my first Ohio State-Michigan game, and I wasn't the biggest Ohio State fan growing up. You know, my mom went here. You know, I cheered for him, but it wasn't like, you know, some of the people that grow up going to games. That wasn't me. And I remember seeing down there, and everybody is lined up on the field, and they have all these former players. And you're like looking around, like, man, like, you know, Keith Byers out there. And like, I'm trying to think, Archie's out on the field. And, you know, these guys from like a lot of the 70s and 80s, you know, got played in the NFL and they're done. Like, I didn't know what it was. And like, well, that's the tunnel of pride. All the former players come back. And I don't know if you guys have been privileged enough to be a part of it yet, but it's honestly, it was something that I was like, I looked forward to that when I was done playing, to be able to come back, be a part of it. Because as you run through there, you're like running through time and when it's at home. And it's an unbelievable experience. It's senior day. You know, and if you're privileged to be a senior at home, like, it's fantastic. But running through there and you see all the faces of all these guys, you know, some of them, you know, time has taken a toll on them. You're balder, you're grayer, you're heavier. But they still have that emotion. Like Zach said, they can still feel it. Like that day, they're amped up and ready to play. And so as a former player, you see this. It's the only game. Like, if you ask me to go play, like, nah, I wouldn't do it. This game,
I'm in.
I'll go do it.
Don't give us the series.
I know how. I'll give you as much as I have. And maybe it's one. I think I could probably give you a quarter. It might be a half. I don't know. We'll run it till the wheels fall off.
I know that. That's how you feel. Adrenaline running, Bob. You might go the whole game.
You run it till, and then they'll gurney me out of there and put me in the hospital for like a month. But you'll run it till the wheels fall off because you know what this game means. You know, and listening to, I heard Travion Henderson talking about this today. And, you know, you listen to Ryan Day, and they talk like, if you're not from here, you don't want to pretend like, well, I know what it means, but you talk to people and you see what it means from the state, people that have gone to school here, everybody else, and they have an appreciation for when you win this game, how they feel and how much it impacts them. And so you begin to grow in that the longer you're here, and it's just awesome to see, whether you're from here or not, how that rivalry is embraced. And I think that's why Ohio State has had so much success over the last 20 years.
You know what? I agree with everything that they say as well. I mean, I definitely would love to strap it up and go back out there and play this game. I do miss it, you know, but the thing about it, being a former player and watching it now, like Cardell said, you know, you do wish you could be out there again, and you do it. It's like you do watch it. Like, come on, y'all. Y'all ain't know that this was coming. Like, you wish you was on the field, like telling everybody what's about to happen and stuff like that. But it's like me being a former player, looking at it, I just want to see who the next player on this Ohio State team that makes that big play,
yeah,
that really
that interception on a two-point conversion.
Yes.
Yeah, it don't got to be to that magnitude.
Yeah.
You know, it could be blocking a field goal, or not blocking a field goal. It could be
maybe don't let him score.
It could be
points.
It could be sacking the quarterback and standing over and flexing. It could be coming in and getting the first down. It could be blocking a punt, taking it to the house. You never know. It's just those little things that happen in the game. And who is able to step up and make that big play in this game? Because for some odd reason, that propels their career. It's like now we watching them for the rest of their career at Ohio State. I just want to see who the next player is.
Great players play great against Michigan.
Yeah, look at them.
Tyvus pointed to three moments, and he just couldn't remember any for you, Bob. I mean,
that's fine. I mean, listen, I don't have any great moments.
I was in Pampers.
That's all right. Listen, I tell you, we talk about that. The guy out there wearing number two on the offensive side of the ball, and we talk about all the catches and
that's
all the touchdowns.
He blocked that punt.
Yeah, he
I'm sitting
name.
There watching that yeah. thing. I'm like, holy smokes! You didn't know who he really was.
Who is
at
this
that
dude?
Time.
Yep. Who is this dude? Where he's? It's like the question was,
where
has he been?
Blocked punt and two touchdowns that day.
Sure, dude.
Yeah, that's what
Big
it was.
Gay.
Yo, but the other thing, sorry, but that Tyvus touched on is, you know, you get so excited to play this game and stuff. I'm excited to see what some of these freshmen, how they act going into this game and how they respond. Because, you know, Tyvus brought up what's your moment. And so many people when you play at Ohio State are defined by your moment in the game. And a lot of these guys like Travion Henderson, like C.J. Stroud, like Denzel Burke, some of these young dudes that are going in there that aren't from the Midwest, aren't from, you know, Columbus or Michigan or Ohio or Michigan – let's see how they respond going into this game. And let's see, you know, how much they elevate this and keep, you know, from an emotional standpoint. Because being from Ohio, all of us are from Ohio, this game just kind of, you got to keep your emotions checked. How do these young guys go into this game and how do they handle it?
Yeah, well, there's a really interesting part to that. We can get into it in a minute, Zach, where I officially, in terms of starters, we know what Olave's done in this game in the past, right? The only starter, guy who started a game, is Thayer Munford against Michigan. Everybody else, the 21 other guys, this will be the first time they've started in this scenario.
Holy smokes.
That's pretty crazy.
Nicholas, he didn't start last year?
Because last year didn't happen.
That is a crazy stat. Right.
It's a crazy stat. It's like, you know that there are other people who have contributed and played.
Yeah, like Garrett Wilson's played, but hasn't. Yeah, but never started.
Part of that great throw from Justin Fields up there. Speaking of which, football fans, when it gets cold up there, this time of year, you know when the game's here that Old Man Winter's around the corner. Is your furnace ready? Whether it just needs a quick tune-up or you need a whole new system, Columbus Worthington Air, they are your factory-authorized Bryant heating and cooling dealer. They will do whatever it takes to make sure your system is up to the task. You can rely on Columbus Worthington Air to provide great service, and they'll make sure you and your family stay warm and comfortable all winter long. Schedule your winter tune-up today at cwaohio.com. Bryant and Columbus Worthington Air are doing whatever it takes, presenting sponsors of Weekend Kickoff, Whatever It Takes on Saturday. Somebody's got to step up. It's usually a surprise. Somebody like Chris Olave that we mentioned, Garrett Wilson coming on as a freshman, Tyvis Powell at the goal line at a two-point conversion. You know, you never know who it's going to be.
Don't put me in there.
All right, I won't.
Those are
you deserve it. It was a big game.
And you remember, hey, Dwayne Haskins coming in on a third and eight and just hammering that freaking post or that dig route right over the middle to Austin Mack. I'm sitting there like, you can't think of a worse time, Cardell, to be put in. Third and eight in the Michigan game and kind of a gotta-have-it situation coming in cold.
I think he actually knows what that's like.
Well, my ball sailed to the end. My ball sailed to the third, to the C deck, actually. Yeah, it was a pass. I looked over to the sideline. You want me to throw it the first time in the game? Second? You got it.
You got it.
I thought it was a fourth and one or a fourth and third and short, right?
Well, they put it away.
Yeah, I think it was like the first pass.
Oh, okay.
Zeke, it went sailing.
Zeke did put it away on a fourth down, but that wasn't.
I mean, Zeke had a good run, but you guys see the fake by the quarterback?
It was great.
Well, two guys.
Hey, who you got?
Yeah. All right. who's got to shine on Saturday to get one?
I'm going to go with
the showers, the Saturday showers.
Saturday showers. I think such a cliche, guys. You guys know where I'm going. I'm going with CJ Stroud. I got to go with CJ because, you know, I don't want things that CJ has been doing to me, you know, clearly throwing the ball really well, but I
doing
feel like
to when, you or like you're watching?
As I'm watching.
All right. Gotcha. Just making sure we're.
Idiot, man. But he's been doing some great things, but things I see about CJ is that he let the media and the hype sometimes get to him and affect the way he's playing this game. Mm-hmm. One thing I don't want to see him getting all this Heisman hopeful, all this Heisman hype, and 90% of it is by me on social media. I don't want that to go to his head. You know, I'm not saying it's mine, but period of the things that he can potentially do as an individual at the end of the season. I want him to just go into this game, play his game, continue to deliver the ball downfield to these great receivers and understand he didn't have to do it all on his own.
Right.
So CJ Stroud is my player of the game and player that, what are we calling this?
Whatever it takes.
Player.
You know, when you start thinking about this game and even right now thinking about it, I want to name everyone. You know, I mean, just because that's how
Slugs.
Big this game is. I'm not going to do that. You know, you talked about C.J. Stroud. That's going to be huge. You could also go with the wide receivers, especially with none of them being a Blinkoff award finalist. Yep. Blows my mind. So those guys are going to be motivated. You could go with Travion Henderson with being able to run the football, especially going up into the big house. And, you know, the two defensive ends that Michigan thinks are so great, projected top 10 picks, which blows my mind. Maybe Aiden Hutchinson, the other guy, not so much. But I'm going to go with Steel Chambers because in this game, you have to be able to stop the run.
That's a great
pick. You have to have a middle linebacker to be able to control the defense. Up there in Ann Arbor, especially on the road, this defense has to be in unison. They've got it. The back end's got to be communicating with the front end. And so Steel Chambers is the guy. Him and Cody Simon, but I'm going more with Steel Chambers. He's got to run around and make plays. He is the answer to a Buckeyes victory.
Gosh, I love that.
I like that answer.
Go with the Steel Chambers. You want him to be a star, a film star, possibly an adult film star. Put it all together on Saturday and be that guy out there. Listen, he's got an all-world name. He talked about him. And whether it's Cody Simon, Eichenberg, like this is a game where they're going to need all those linebackers because Michigan comes out, they run the football.
Yes. Yep.
And they're not going to get away from it. And, you know, talking with those guys, like don't think like, hey, maybe they'll just stop running it. Like, that's not going to be the case. They'll run this thing 45 times if you let them. You have got to force them out of the run by putting them in third and seven, third and eight situations and keeping it along. Heck, they may even run it right there. depending on how Cade McNamara is playing. But if you're going to take...
Well, he's not worried about Ohio State's defense, didn't you hear?
Well, it's all about what they do. I mean, listen, I got it. I'm on point. I mean, I got about 47 people that tweeted that at me this morning. I'm like, I understand, okay? I'm not playing. Tweet this to those guys, the guys that matter. I'm not going to go up there and go tackle Blake Corum or Hassan Haskins. It doesn't matter to me.
I would do it.
I think I got a COVID. When they gave the COVID years out, did former players, can you go back?
I think everybody gets another year? To come back.
Everybody gets another year.
I'm going to check for all four of you guys.
Everybody gets another year. You're going to go with the mid-level guys, the second-level guys. I'm going to go with the defensive line then because I think it's that whole front seven. You know, Michigan, they like to pull guys. They have a complicated running game. They want to pull dudes around, get overload you at the point of attack. If you can get penetration, if you can squeeze down those gaps, if you can dominate up front, Haskell the Rascal, you know, if you can be that guy, Ty Leak, hammered it up in there, the defensive ends, pinching it down. If you can limit those run lanes, the backers fill it up. I would love to see Michigan have to throw the ball 40 times.
Oh.
I think that is a losing proposition for this team. And so if you can handle it with your front seven and go up there and drive them out of running the football, not just hope they're going to stop running it, but drive them out of it, that'll be the difference. So I'm going to go with the defensive line to get that done.
I got two picks.
Let's do it.
One is a coach, one is a player.
Yes.
Ooh. So for coach, it would have to be Coach Ryan Day. You can cement yourself in Ohio State history by going up there and – being a man of your word. You say you want to put 100 points on the scoreboard. You left me short last week. You could have made me a profit, but you left me short. So, therefore, you owe me this week. You know, you left 50.
Gotta go out and
you
do
said
it for
you
Titans.
Wanted to hang 50. So, I figure, you know, put them together, you get 101 points. But, you know, we'll save that for later on. And player-wise, I think the player that will make the impact play of this game is Lathan Ransom. I know, right? I've been watching him. He's really coming on at this point of the season. Yeah. Every week it seems like it's something that he's gotten better at, whether that's covering, whether that's coming up, making tackles. I think this is the game that he comes fully out of his shell and he lets the world know who Lathan Ransom is.
Good
and
pick.
He's going to make one big play that's going to change the outcome of this game.
I think what you guys said about eliminating the Michigan rushing attack is obviously true, and I think that Ohio State will because they, any time that you challenge them to do so, just like last week with Kenneth Walker, they answer the challenge. So if Michigan's going to start throwing it, that's going to put pressure on those cornerbacks. We'll see if Denzel Burke, how close to 100% he is. But either way, especially if Seven Banks is still hurt, Cameron Brown is going to have to play his best game with Ohio State.
Yeah. Maybe catch a ball this week.
And I talked to – so he came over off the field on Saturday.
We're going to get one. Cam's getting one.
He came over to me, and he used some language that I won't use right here, but he said, man, I can't believe I dropped another freaking one. And that's two in the last couple weeks. I've known Cameron a long time. I said, buddy, maybe that just means you're saving it up for next week when it really counts. Now, you still got to be on that joke.
Grower.
You got to grow out if you're going to show out. And I think that Cameron Brown will do that this week. I think he will make that pick six that'll change the game around. So that's my Bryant heating and cooling, whatever it takes player to watch this week. We are at the halftime mark here. We're going to take a quick break, reload on some of the Coors Lights and Vizzies from our other sponsors. We're going to come back with a lot more at Urban Meyer's Pint House for weekend kickoff as we get ready for the game on Saturday.
It takes attention to detail. With your local Bryant dealer, you're getting more than just a technician. You're getting someone who pays attention to your needs and the little things that make a big difference. It takes a dealer you can rely on. And to keep your family warm this winter,
here, let me show you how this works.
It takes Bryant.
Bryant. Whatever it takes.
And to keep your family comfortable, it takes Columbus Worthington Air. Find them at cwaohio.com.
Now with some early bowl predictions, Bobby Carpenter.
Well, Austin, what I'm seeing here is 12 lucky Roosters guests are getting the opportunity to travel to this year's Buckeye Bowl game. Each trip comes complete with two tickets, airfare, and hotel. One prize winner will be chosen each week. Guests need to register weekly at roosterswings.com.
That's great, Bobby. What I was asking was your prediction for the Buckeyes this bowl season.
I have no idea. I'm going to Roosters right now to register.
Welcome back for the second half. It's the home stretch as we get ready for Saturday in the Big House. We got to get it back rolling with the, what do we got, Buyer's Auto question for the, we're going to do the whole box, not just Cardale this week.
I mean, we all answer it anyway. Just call
Buyer's
it, just
Auto
call it by
question
the name.
For the Bucks.
Oh, okay.
And everybody.
Okay, I don't want to answer.
Nope.
Switch it up. I don't want
to
answer it.
Nope, you have to. So one question that I get a lot, like we want to know what it's like for these players when they're walking through the tunnel in the big house, when they're throwing fisticuffs before the game, those famous hype videos. Tyvus, there was a brawl, I know for sure, in your famous game.
Oh, I got me some. out there, got me a little something.
There's so much emotion. There's so much physicality.
How about that Glenville native Marcus Hall?
Yeah, double birds. Yeah,
the alleged.
I was out there with the headset on swing. Well, I ain't swinging, but you know, I got me a little something.
Not swinging, fake swinging.
Wait, was that Grant Schwartz? Yeah, Grant Schwartz mixing that thing up out there with the dudes?
Yeah, it was a miss of pulling a player back and swinging at one of these players. All right. Thank God I didn't get caught.
What's the craziest thing you've seen or heard that is safe to share?
Well,
playing in the game, in that tunnel.
Well, just for people to get a visual, is that the away locker room and the home locker room are literally at the same point right across the hall from one another. So that tunnel's probably 15 yards wide. Well, right where the Michigan locker room doors are, you look right across the tunnel there, 15 yards away, and it's the main doors to the away locker room. And so, you know, before a game, a lot of times, like Ohio Stadium, you see two different tunnels, them coming out. Well, before the Michigan-Ohio State game, the officials have to get both teams out around the same time. And you've got, you know, 100 dudes coming out of a locker room. Not everyone's just running out right away, right? So there's some stragglers that are behind and whatnot. So, you know, you go out, and normally what happens is the away team always goes first, and then Michigan comes. Well, what Michigan does is when their away team comes out, they kind of know when it's happening, and those locker room doors are wide open, and you can see Michigan lined up. And, of course, that's when, you know.
That's when it happens.
That's when things are said. You know, that's when, you know, the Michigan coaches are there but kind of aren't really there, you know, and those guys that are standing in the doorway get a little bit farther out into the tunnel. That's the best visual. So it gets chippy. Things are said in that tunnel that shouldn't be said.
You know, it get crazy. It get crazy in that tunnel. I think the worst, as an Ohio State player, I think the people who get it the worst is the Michigan band. Because they're right there before the final go in, before we come out, and players are just jumping in their face, slapping their tantrums.
And stuff. Beating up band members?
Slapping those drumsticks out their hands. You know, they try to go, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
It's time for war.
Yeah.
It's time for war.
I mean, y'all too.
I
don't care if you're part of the band. You're getting it today.
Yeah,
seriously. So honestly, that's the worst for real. I'm like, man, let's get them.
That is amazing. My goodness.
You didn't know that?
That was not a thing back in 05, dude. Back then. I will say this. One of the great things that I ever saw, and, I mean, your dad would have qualified for something like this, because when you have, you know, the father-son dynamic where you flip and then go to the other side, especially when you're from the state of Ohio. In 2005, TJ Downing, who was from Canton, Glen Oak, his dad played at Michigan, played, you know, offensive guard up there, played like 6-7 years in the NFL. They were honoring like the 25th year anniversary of like one of their Rose Bowl Big Ten championship teams. And so they're doing that like at the end of the first quarter. TJ's our starting offensive guard in 2005. He's like, hey, man, he's in our class. Like, hey, watch this. He's like, watch my dad. They're going to bring him out here. So, you know, during the quarter change, you're usually like hanging out. And I had broke my ankle at that point. So I think the defense was on the field. So I'm standing there with TJ and Troy. He's like, man, watch this. His dad's got his, like, varsity coat on. Everybody's doing that. They wave, and they introduce everybody, like, kind of as the team. And TJ's dad, maybe they introduce player by player, and, like, Walt Downing, and, like, straight up watching WWE, tears off the jacket, has his son's Ohio State jersey on underneath, like, puts their hands up on the field. The boos start raining down.
Oh.
I mean, I felt like I was watching Monday Night Raw, dude, SummerSlam, like, flipping a tag team.
Listen, that's the coolest thing ever. It's funny. It's funny that his dad kind of put the rivalry to the side for his kid.
It's amazing.
I tell my kids all the time, so I don't care what school you go to, but there's only one school I'm paying for as far as college, and I will cheer against you. So I don't think I could be as cool with David Hillman and swallow his pride and cheer for a Michigan, even if my kid was there or played a sport there, because versus Ohio State.
Right.
You know, so, but that's pretty sweet.
Oh, dude, I mean, it was straight. You know, you got the whole everybody like lined up on the 25.
Yeah.
Like, he takes like 3 steps out and just rips this thing off. And it's his son's jersey. I'm like, wow. I mean,
that's pretty sweet.
I felt like I'd seen it all at that point. And we ended up winning that game. Maybe probably one of the great games in all of history. I mean, that your game went in 2013 was great. I mean, there's some. You get those epic comebacks that come down to the wire, and everyone loves a great blowout because it feels good. You can kind of relax in the fourth quarter, have some drinks. But, man, when you win a close one, dude, it feels amazing.
Like, I love a good blowout.
You do love a good blowout. But winning a close one, when you climax right at the right moment, right there at the end.
You just let it all go.
And you just let it all go right there. That's the time when it's addressed.
That's like a wild turn. I should have known it was coming.
Hey, you should have. Listen, would you rather have been on the fourth quarter chilling or when you intercept that ball, you slid that thing out, you're running. I mean, it's the greatest feeling in the world.
It is a good feeling.
Watching Troy Smith, and you guys are probably little young dudes watching like Troy dive up there. David Harris, who played 10 years in the NFL. Troy looks like he's going to run in 05. Then pulls back, comes back, and finds Gonzo down the field, climbing the ladder. I'm like, you're like, what? Like, that didn't even happen. Like, I don't know what else they could have done on that play. Yeah. They executed everything perfectly outside of making the play. The guys were all right there. They're all in position. And it's just like, well, they outplayed you.
Yep.
And give it to Pitt. Boom, touchdown, game over. Bam plays on. Get out of there.
See ya.
I think the craziest thing that happened, it ain't even that crazy, but it was actually more funny to me. So it was our last year up there, 2015, when we blowed them out after we lost to Michigan State.
Oh, that was a big time.
And we get towards the end of the game. And, you know, I want to say that was Harbaugh's first year, right?
15, yeah.
All right, so, you know, they've been doing all that chirping about having all this energy coming in. And he was bringing the program back. So we go up there, we blowing them out, right? So Vine is gone. Like, he is gone in another world. And he over there talking to Harbaugh on the sideline.
Yes.
And I'm like, wait, who is that? And Bob turned around like, hey, TP, remember you talking all that stuff? Come over here and say what's up to him. So I'm over here. So for the rest of it, for like the whole fourth quarter, me and Bob, after the defense make a play, we'll turn, because you get like, 15 seconds before a play, we'll turn to the sideline and get to talking to him like, bro, you been stealing this money? You got up here selling these false dreams to these people? It was hilarious, man. That was the best way to go out, just to talk trash to Harbaugh, because he couldn't do nothing. He had that stupid look that he'd be having on his face, and it was just hilarious.
I think we've all seen that many times. It's been an annual tradition in the rivalry. I love going down to that tunnel before and after the game, just to actually, because you don't get that vibe, that atmosphere really anywhere else. Obviously, there's some mixing it up. Usually, it's on the field in the horseshoe. There's a meeting of the minds, usually maybe around midfield. But that tunnel there is really cool.
You get it during warm-ups.
They've got the banners out there. You can run through.
But even the tunnel, to your point, you get in warm-ups. Ooh. You get it before the game. You get it at halftime. Yeah. I mean, you get it every
– And I've got to be down there to go, like, to the post-game press conference after you guys are talking about, you know, winning another set of gold pants. So the last time they were there 2 years ago, Michigan had put – this was their huge recruiting weekend. They were going all out. These people are all walking up the tunnel at the same time. Ohio State's coming up celebrating. Damon Arnett.
Yeah,
but
Rico.
Never afraid to say something, is just yelling, why would you come here? Why would you come here? They ain't ever going to win.
Did he drop like, I'm going to kill you later? I mean, just go,
come here and I kill you.
Didn't get to that point. But that
come
stuff,
here, I kill you.
Y'all did, bro.
You never forget that stuff.
As much as you're laughing at Vaughn, I remember in 04, I didn't get offered by Michigan. And maybe if I went there, I'd come to camp, whatever. And I'm like, I went up there. It felt super weird. I'm like, I can't see myself going here. So I'm going to waste time going to camp. They didn't offer me. And so, like, in your mind, you conjure up all this stuff. And we lost in 03, come back 04, it's at home, and we're not even very good. We're 6-4 heading into the game. And they already won the Big Ten. They go to the Rose Bowl, lost to Texas that year. But we beat their butt, and it was fantastic. 37-21, Mike Hart, Chad Henne, they got Braylon Edwards, you know, supposed to be all these great dudes. And they keep running the stretch. I'm down there smoking Mike Hart. And then Jim Herman was on the sideline. And I remember, like, you made a mistake, Jim. You should have offered me. And I was, like, yelling that into their I completely forgot about that until that story came up. Because it's something I probably wasn't even all that proud of. And I don't know why I'm yelling at the opposing coaches. Like, I think Vic yelled at me. He's like, what are you doing over there? Like, full back to our sideline, yelling into theirs, you know, from the numbers. I mean, you get out of your mind. But that's what it takes in this game. Like, if you think you just go out there and it's like, I'm going to go play Indiana and, like, just go win. Like, that's not how it works.
Because
you have to match, especially now. you have to match their level of desperation, because these guys,
last
3 or 4 years, man, hey, when are you going to beat Ohio State? When are you going to beat Ohio State? And now you're coming in, you're 10-1. You win this game, you're going to the Big Ten Championship, a chance to go to the college football playoff. Michigan has never played in the Big Ten Championship game. Northwestern has been there twice.
Yeah.
I want you to think about that. Yeah. If you would have told me in 2011 or 12, whenever they started the Big Ten Championship game, that Northwestern would be there twice before Michigan goes one time, I think everybody in this room would say,
Michigan State, hey, Nebraska's been there.
Everybody.
Right? Michigan State's been there. I mean, Penn State's been there.
Everybody's been there but Indiana, I think.
Basically,
they're selling dreams.
I mean, and that's Rutgers, Maryland don't count.
So they're selling desperation, and so you have to match their level of desperation. Ohio State is a better team. But listen, man, the hungry dog is old. The hungry dog gets the bone. Like, you have to go match that level. Their waves are hitting. You have got to meet them up high.
Well, I think this year even more so than in years past, because they are desperate. But, you know, a 6-4 Michigan team coming here being desperate is one thing. It's like, okay, they're going to give us whatever. A 10-1 Michigan team that wins that game, goes to the Big Ten Championship game.
That's a different type of desperation.
Yeah, that's a different type of desperation, because guess what? Now there's actually something at stake for them. It's not just beating Ohio State.
It's just not ruining Ohio State
season. Yeah, right. Now it's Big Ten Championship. Now it's National Championship. So those guys, man, are desperate, and now it's even more dangerous because of what's at stake.
Well, the problem with it at Ohio State, nobody wants to be that team at Ohio State that breaks the streak. So that right there is motivation in itself. It's just not going to happen.
Like, when we talk about they've lost two games in the last 20 years, like, I was on one of those teams.
I was on one.
You were on one of those teams. Were you on the –
No.
Stop.
No.
No, you were – Look okay. this way. You were Look on there. So that's what I'm saying. Like, and people talk about that. It's like, yeah, I was on one of them. I mean, like, you kind of put – like, but you don't want to ever associate that, because it's been so overwhelmingly one-sided. Like, how did you lose that year? And you're like, well – and you start going into the story of it. I mean – dude, just put the W there and I don't have to tell the story anymore. Yeah. You know, you don't want to be those guys, especially this senior class. You talk about a lot of these guys had never started before in this game, going up there. Like, it's a big deal. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, the first 16 matchups between Ohio State and Michigan. I just learned this today, actually, at a Barrett's event. Ohio State had won one game out of the first 16 matchups, a couple of ties in there. The last 16, Michigan has won one. So
no, they did. It's two.
What is the last 16?
What's
last
the all-time
16,
record?
More.
We need seven more, right?
Yeah,
seven more to tie, or seven more to take.
Seven more to tie it, I believe. And that's, I mean, this has been with an overwhelming last 20 years.
Another crazy one too. But since Michigan has rejoined the Big Ten back in, I forgot what year it was, the series is actually tied up, and they scored exactly the same amount of points.
Oh, wow.
But Ohio State has scored one more point.
Who
are you because
with?
Last
you
year,
with Jack Park?
Yes.
Okay.
He told me all this earlier.
It's only one
last year, yeah, because last year that Michigan kicker missed. I mean, 2 years ago, Michigan kicker missed the extra point. Literally, if he made the extra point, exact same score, same record.
Cardale said, "Hey,
that's crazy.
I got weekend kickoff tonight. Give me all the stats you got.
Give me everything you got.
let's load it up. Hey, use all that information, all your background, all the stuff we've seen over the previous 11 weeks." Put it into one score. It's the Coors Light Silver Bullet Pick segment. Tell me how concerned you are that the streak might end.
Shellac it.
At all. And then give me that score.
I got 45.
Spread's 8.5.
Thank you for reminding me. It's gone up. It opened at 6.5.
It's grown from 6. It's
a grower. I think it opened at 7, but yeah.
I thought it was at 8.
Yeah.
It is now.
It's 8.5.
All that. I got 38-20 Buckeyes.
Ooh.
And I'm not concerned at all.
Ooh.
Just because I think that Ohio State, even though both teams are playing pretty much for the same thing, Big Ten championship game berth, college football playoff potential berth.
Yep.
But I think at the end of the day, Ohio State still have more to lose with this roster, with this team, and just the history of the last 15 out of the last 16 games. So I got
38-20. I like that pick. Here's the thing. Honestly, I haven't even thought about the score till right now, but it's like last week it's so easy. It just rolls off. But going into this game, you're just nervous, right? And it's not because I don't have faith in Ohio State. It's because it's the game and anything can happen. And Bob was talking about desperation and everything that's at stake this game. Granted, I have been to Ann Arbor this year already and watched a game in the Big House against Northwestern in the Michigan offense, there's not that it factor up there, right? You're watching the game and nothing jumps off on you. You go to all these Ohio State games and you look at these athletes running around and some of the plays that are made, and you're just like, wow, right? Up there, man, it's just – they're – they don't have the it factor within the athletes. And so in saying that, I don't think they can match us firepower for firepower. I don't think the defense, really on the defense, it's the defensive ends who have got all the hype. And I don't think going against our offense tackles, I don't think there's a chance for them to do anything in this game.
Right.
So in saying that, I am going to go Buckeyes 49.
Ooh.
Michigan 17.
Shellacking. 49-17.
Shellacking.
That is a shellacking.
That is one.
If they score 49, that would be the first time during the regular season, I believe, that a Big Ten team since like 1960 has led, unless Alabama scores like 1,000, has led the nation in scoring offense. It's been back, well, I think maybe Kerry Collins and Penn State did in 94, and before that it was like 1960. Oh. So we're 3 points up on Bama, and we're like at 40 and change, 43 or something right now. So that would be big. I don't know if I can get all the way there. I'm going to probably go like 35-17.
Okay.
You know, maybe a late score kind of pulls that thing away. You feel a little more comfortable about that. I'm with Zach. Like, they don't have this explosive offense to push the ball over the top. But – gosh, there's just something about it. I mean, they've got some solid rush. They have a solid rushers. I mean, you look at Hutchinson, what he's able to do with Jack Bell. Like, these guys are good players. And so if they can get pressure, that will impact. Dwayne had a clean pocket, man. He was chilling like us up here last week.
He was probably chilling on the sideline in Pittsburgh, but C.J. Stroud was really good. That's probably chilling.
You're right.
You know? Yeah.
You're right.
Don't give him nothing else.
He reminds me so much of the way Dwayne played.
Here's the thing, though.
He's got a smooth release.
Here's the thing. With the three wide receivers that Ohio State has and watching them, especially last week against Michigan State, I don't know if there's NFL teams that could cover these three guys. And I'm being completely honest. From having Jaxon Smith-Njigba in the slot and Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, I don't know if there's a better trio in the NFL from that standpoint, from a playmaking ability, right? From their playmaking ability. So you look at Michigan across the board, and they've got some good pass rushers, but it's not like Ohio State's got just a Devin Smith that's trying to take off the top of the defense, right? And you got to be back in the pocket for 4 or 5 seconds. The way they're able to work those guys in the slot, the mesh route, the things like, you're getting 2 seconds to get to the quarterback, right? And with DeJuan Jones, with Petit Freire, right? I don't think those guys have enough time to get to the quarterback just with the way Ohio State's going to game plan around them. And Ryan Day, I'm telling you this, he wants this one. You know, we talk about this, like that Oregon game he really wanted. There's some other games against maybe James Franklin that he really wants. Against Mike Loxley, right? We talked about that one earlier this year. This one, he wants bad.
Yep.
Oh, it's on me. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. Hello, everybody.
A thousand and nothing.
So, you know, everybody has very good takes. You know, it's very good score predictions. And, you know, after watching this team up north go and do what they did against Penn State, you know, obviously we didn't kill Penn State like they did, I would say. But, you know, we definitely played some real good ball last week. The thing that just gets me is that, you know, the team up north's strength is running the football. And I just, at Ohio State, I just don't really see a team really killing us with the run. I mean, we had it early on in the first couple games of the season, but they was young. I feel like this group is experienced now.
They've grown.
Yeah, they've grown up right before our very eyes. It brings tears to my eyes to see that they didn't grow up like this. So with that,
you had different tears in your eyes after the Oregon game.
No, I did. See, that's the thing about me. I don't fret. Okay, I don't panic at all. I don't fret at all. Like I know they're gonna get the stuff right.
Yeah.
Now Bobby said that we need 49 points to have. Would you say 1960 most points by a Big Ten's team? Well, I'll be God dog. They're going to break that record because you know. Ooh. I'm going 101-17. 101-17.
Going to hang that 100.
Listen, the difference between this week and last week is he called the dogs off. He knew that it was, you know, he foreseen, you know, we good. You know, we need to get some guys in there. We want rest y'all bodies for this game.
That's right.
Okay, after this, It's all championship games after that. But you know what? We didn't get to play them last year. They didn't fill us last year. We had a good team, a national championship team last year. And we didn't get a chance to go up there, or actually it would have been home, and, you know, get these kids their gold pants. So I feel like in Ryan Day's mind, he owes that last class something.
Right.
He owes them something.
Oh, wow.
They watching this. They want to know what you going to do. You were supposed to do it with us, but you know what? If you go up there and hang up 100 points, hey, we'll look past the fact that we didn't get it done. So I feel like he got a lot of things in his mind from last year that he want to get off his chest, and he's just going to add it to this year. Plus, we got two receivers that still need 1,000 yards. One is like 160 away. The other is like 60 away. I think it's going to happen. 101, 17. Jeez. I'm going to give them the 17 because it is a rivalry.
Okay.
Something.
That's
they,
just
they
a rivalry.
Yeah, they're going to do something. They're going to score. Now, Michigan State, I knew that they wasn't going, you know.
I think Tyvus is ready to get that COVID year and go play on Saturday. My goodness.
I miss it. I really do. I really do.
I don't see how the talent gap has gone from here. Maybe it's here now. They don't have the coaching staff to match up with Ohio State. They don't have the players. They don't have the quarterback to do it. You know, Zach, you talked about the edge rushers going against that offensive line. I don't see it. I mean, the last couple of weeks, whether that's Karloftis or Panischuk, they've seen good pass rushers. Yep. As you guys said, C.J. Stroud is chilling. They're going to pick apart Ohio State again. Ohio State's going to pick apart Michigan again. 52-24 will be the win, wow, in the Big House. You know it, Bob. You know.
So I hope, man.
I don't see how the Ohio State offense just doesn't put up that many points.
Yeah,
I mean, with the way they're clicking, I don't think there's any way.
But the team up north's defense is supposed to be, like, really good, right?
They're good.
I mean, they're good.
Allegedly.
But, you know, here's the other part of that, and what factors in my mind is I know you can't compare the transitive property of games. What Michigan State did to
Michigan. It's on the road, though. That is
real. That's why they get to 17.
I'm just thinking about Kenneth Walker.
Yeah.
And the way that Michigan plays with a lot of that, you know, they're giving up underneath passing and playing too high. You're going to show that and let Travion Henderson go wild in this game?
Guess what? Or you give up the underneath stuff. Put the ball in those three guys' hands for Ohio State and let them do it something with the ball once they get it.
My thing is that they run the ball up there. Like, that's what they do. But Ohio State's going to score so fast that they got to abandon. Then you're going to put it in that quarterback's hand who doesn't even have a great arm like that. So it's kind of like, I don't see it. I don't.
Well, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 covers for Ohio State getting it done on Saturday in the Big House. Can't wait to get up there. That's just a week unlike any other. Appreciate Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems having us in here at Urban Meyer's Pint House for weekend kickoff. Appreciate Byers Auto and Coors Light, Cardale Jones, Zach Foran, Bobby Carpenter, Tyvus Powell. I am Austin Ward. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Enjoy this holiday week and enjoy the game on Saturday. We will see you next week.